Please open your Bible to the book of Proverbs, to the 31st chapter. And we read that chapter a little bit earlier. In fact, we read from verse 10 all the way to the end of the chapter. And for the sermon, though, I'm going to just be taking a few of the verses at the very end, starting at verse 28 through verse 31. And I'd like to talk about a concept which is the role of the godly mother, what she should seek to be and how she should act in her life, and also what are the desires or wishes of the godly mother. And this text actually tells us. Now, if you were to ask the question of a lot of different women, let's say you went to the mall or something like that and asked, well, what are you wishing for on this Mother's Day, just any random sample of different mothers, I'm sure you get a whole number of different answers. And some of the moms might say, well, this is what I'm wishing for. I'm wishing for some perfectly behaved children. Or I am wishing for about 10 more hours of sleep this week. Or I am wishing for a husband who listens to me and who loves me and cherishes me. Or perhaps they're wishing for a night out with some close friends or a little bit of extra money. I mean, who knows what it might be, but those are probably the typical answers that you would get from a lot of women in our random sample. But I think it's significant to take note that God has actually given a list of what every godly mother should wish for. And He gives it in this very text. Here, right at the end of the book of Proverbs, He talked about how His list satisfies the inner person and lasts for the whole lifetime. It isn't just transitory. It isn't just temporary. One day it satisfies, the other day it doesn't. But it's something that gives blessing and help through a woman's entire life. That's what the Lord's list is all about. You might want to ask yourself, ladies, are you wishing for these things? Such things as the blessings of your children. Are they rising up and blessing you? And also, the blessing of a husband who gives testimony to all who will listen of how his wife is a virtuous woman, a woman of excellence, of how even the Lord's is pleased with your character and your conduct. And then lastly, how the fruit of your hands bears testimony to everyone who watches and sees and knows you, that you are a woman who walks in the fear of God and who's committed yourselves unto the ways of the Lord. Now that's a list that's going to satisfy for your entire lifetime. It's not just a one-day thing. But it's something that will go on forever and ever as you seek to honor God and as you seek to be satisfied with that particular list and those things. We'll get rid of that fly here. Now, I remember when I was a boy back in the early 60s, and I know this is going to date me, but I remember there was a particular television show that our family would watch. And this show was called Queen for a Day. Any of you remember this? Well, Samuel's nodding his head. I don't think that's possibly true. Okay, this was called Queen for a Day. And the way it worked was this. There would be a bunch of contestant mothers. They would have this competition there on the television show, and the winning mother could choose some really special prizes and trips that she would get as a reward for winning the contest. But the really big event of the day was that all of the producers and the different hosts of that television show would show up at her house on one particular day, and they would treat her as a queen for the whole day. And so they would roll up in the limousine. They would give her special clothes to wear, like furs and stuff like that. They would take her out for meals. They would take her shopping. They would give her a golden crown that would be placed on her head. And of course, here was husband and children all standing there with open mouths gaping. We've never seen our wife or our mother like this before. And that's what would happen. Queen for a day. The problem was, though, it was only for one day. One day. And that was it. That's all she got. I'm suggesting to you a plan that God has, though, where, ladies, you can be a queen for all your days. And where the desires of your heart, as you humble them before the Lord, as you seek His ways, can be fulfilled. Yes, we live in a fallen world. Yes, you're married to a man who isn't perfect, and he's married to a woman who isn't perfect. But yet, if we seek the Lord's ways and follow the list that He's given us here, I do believe the Lord can honor and bless you in ways that you perhaps never dreamt of before. And instead of being a queen for a day, is queen for the rest of your life. As the Lord raises up children and husband, as the Lord communicates His pleasure with how you're living and what you're doing, as the fruit of your hands is made known. Now, those are the things that are worth desiring for, longing for, and seeking after. Let's hear the scripture here. We've already heard the entire passage, but I want to, as I said, focus on verse 28 and following. And so let me read verse 28 through 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would take this text now and just open it up wide for us to enjoy and to learn from. We pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you would bring a lot of encouragement and blessing, not only to the women folk of our congregation, but also to the men, not only to the young women, but also the young boys, as they think about these matters, and they long in their hearts, either for the daughters, that they will become virtuous women, or for the young men, that their wives will be virtuous women. I pray, Lord, that it may be so, and that you would bring these things about. In Jesus' name, amen. What's the setting of this particular chapter? Chapter 31, Book of Proverbs, the last chapter in this wonderful, incredible book, which just has lots of wisdom spilling out all the way through it. What's the setting? Well, the setting is not just a one-day picture into a woman's life. Verses 10 through 31 of chapter 31 are not just about a one-day picture, as if the woman that's being spoken of here does all of this in any one given day. That's not the context. The context is this is a picture of her entire life. And so don't take all of this upon yourself, ladies, and somehow give this massive guilt trip. Well, I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. How can I possibly be the excellent woman? Because I'm not doing all these things. Well, let me just say that this is a picture of a woman's entire life. And there are seasons, there are times in life where you're able to give yourself to one particular set of needs and then later to another set of needs. That's the way the Lord has designed it. And so this is a whole life scenario or picture. It's not a snapshot or a one-day picture. Beyond that, we find in this passage that her children rise up and call her blessed. This is speaking of one of the wonderful blessings that God has given womankind, and that is the ability to bear children. Or if they aren't able to bear them, then to have the opportunity, by God's grace, to nurture those that have been brought into their family through adoption. And it is that issue of nurture, of having the blessing of raising up children and seeing some small part of yourself be communicated to that child so that they go out into the world as a representative of the things that you believed in your own heart and the things that were valuable to you. And so in this situation, her children rise up. Means that they're not passive. They're not quiet about this, but they've been so deeply influenced by their mother. They've been so influenced by the things that she has said and done that they want to tell others about it. Now, I'm not in any way denying here that women are born as sinners. I'm not denying that. And I'm not denying that women through time also make foolish, sinful, wicked choices. We all understand that doctrine of sin being in humankind. But we also understand that God, through the work of the new birth, can transform a person's life. And He does so with many, many women. And they begin to drink deeply from the principles of Scripture and live them out. And as they do, then the Lord promises blessing. And that's why the children rise up and call her blessed. Because she's inculcated in her own life, in her own way of living, in her words, the ways of God. Not perfectly, not without failure at time, but yet as one who's committed to this overall pattern of being a virtuous woman. And so, the sons and daughters are instructed when they have a mother to respond to what they're seeing in her. In Proverbs 23, verse 22, and I'd like some of the young sons and daughters to write down these verses because these are ones you need to think about and to plan to honor your father and your mother in these ways. Listen to what it says. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Let's face it, your father and your mother are going to be getting older. And at some point, they may be in a position where they need help from you. And the Bible's instructing you that you are to not only honor father and mother, but in particular here, in regard to your mothers, you are to not despise your mother when she is old. To despise means that you reject her words and her life and the things that she valued. And if you're seeking the blessing of God, then you won't do that. Instead, what you'll do is you will honor her and you will seek to meet her needs and you will seek to help her and you will come alongside and be a blessing to her and you will tell the people that are all around of the things that she said and did that had such a huge influence upon your life. Also in Proverbs 23, verse 25, just a few verses later, it says, let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. If you're the honoring son, your honoring daughter, and that doesn't mean that you do everything perfectly and identically like your father and mother, that you make every same decision, because there's some sense of growing up, of marrying, forming a unit between husband and wife, and making your own decisions before God. So we're not implying here that you do everything exactly the same, but we are implying that you seek to be honorable in commending your mother and your father for what they have done that truly has blessed you and that has been of God. Why do the children call her blessed? Because of her tender guidance at times when they were afraid and worried, anxious. Because of her wise counsels, when they didn't know whether to turn left or right. They just weren't sure where to go. And Mom had a word for them, which they felt was extremely helpful and beneficial. Because of her loving discipline. Are you thankful for that? Think about those times when you were disciplined by your mother. Or your sin was pointed out and it wasn't so comfortable at the time, but later on, as the years went by, you could see that that was a very fine and godly thing that she did. I remember myself when I was about 8 years old, I was in a supermarket in Southern California where I live with my mom and dad, and I'd gone into the market, and I saw one of those huge candy bins in the market. And I thought to myself, I want some of that candy. And I didn't have any money in my pocket. I knew that much. And so I simply asked my mother, well, Mom, can I get some candy? And she said, no, I'm sorry. We're not going to get any candy today. And rather than accept the word of no, you can't have this, I started scheming on ways that I could get the candy anyways. And so when she was around the corner and down the aisle, I kind of wandered back to that big Kraft candy display, and I put my hand out when nobody was looking, and I took that piece of candy and I put it in my pocket, just one piece. Now, I got a little greedy as time went along because I was wanting to eat that candy. And I resisted all the way through the store thinking that I might get caught. But as we were at the checkout line, we were almost to freedom out the door there. I started fingering that candy in my pocket. And you know how it has that cellophane wrapping all around it, you know, that makes noise when you're trying to take it off? Well, my mom was looking at me thinking, Mark, what are you doing? What's in your pocket? Oh, nothing, Mom. Nothing, Mom. So now I've stolen and now I've lied. And I'm still trying to get that candy. And finally, she confronts me to show her in my hand what it is that's in my pocket. And with great shame, I bring out the candy. Well, my mother was a very wise woman. She knew right then that this was a problem that, if left unaddressed, would grow into a much more serious problem. Don't you agree? If you didn't take care of it then, it'd be a bigger problem later. So she made me go find the manager. She went with me. And I had to apologize to him and give the candy back. Terribly humiliating. I'll tell you, for years after that time, I never went into that store again because I was so fearful that they would have my picture in the back or something. Look out for this kid with red hair. Well, I'll tell you, in telling you the story, I am rising up and I'm calling my mother blessed, because what she did was exactly the right thing. Very painful to me, very humiliating, but a lesson I've never forgotten and one that I take with me even into disciplining my own children. You see, those are the marks of a virtuous woman. And so even in her loving discipline, we see that there's something to commend her for. We also notice from the holy example our mothers might give in terms of their commitment to God, their confession of their own sins, their commitment to be in the Bible, their commitment to be at the Lord's house on the Lord's day, their commitment to be a godly, faithful woman, her faithful provision, her providing meals and sustenance day after day after day, her selfless behavior when you were sick, when you had to stay up all night and your mother was there taking care of you. You all probably had that experience at some time in your life. Her selfless behavior in the way that she cared for you. It says in Proverbs 15, verse 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Now, some of us have had mothers who have not been Christians, mothers who have, as it were, gone off the deep end, that have serious problems. But even in that, I believe that it's possible to find something in the character of your mother to commend the Lord for and to rejoice for about her. And if you can't think of anything, then ask the Lord to show you those areas of her life that could be commended before the Lord Himself or to her as well. Thank you, Mom, for doing this or doing that. Our Lord was conscious of His mother. In John chapter 19, we see Jesus at that time hanging upon the cross. It's a terrible, brutal, awful scenario, a picture of shame and rejection. And here's the Apostle John with Mary at his side. And Jesus, hanging on the cross, looks down and he sees his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. And he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Well, there's the Lord Jesus showing us by his own example his care and regard for the one who had birthed him, just an ordinary woman, a woman like any of the ladies in our church, but yet by God's design had been chosen out to bear forth the Christ child. And you see the Lord Jesus showing regard and rising up and caring for his mother, even in the midst of his death. Now that would be an example of the blessing of children, rising up, calling a mother blessed. As we press on in this text, back to Proverbs 31, it says here, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her." And this is what he says, "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." Now, here's a husband who, in his many years of companionship, has seen many reasons, many virtues that are worth and notable to commend before his wife. Now, some men have the idea that as long as they don't say anything negative, that things are just fine and dandy in that household. As long as you don't become one of those men who just complains all the time, then things are great. Well, I have news for you that you should do something more than just say, "I love you" or "thank you, dear," on your 25th anniversary and then once again on your 50th anniversary. You should aspire to say more often, "Thank you, dear, for this or that." Why is that? Well, because as you show forth that gratitude and thanks for what your wife has done, then in a reciprocal way, then your wife is going to bless you and care for you in ways that you wouldn't ordinarily expect. And so the frequency will benefit her and will benefit you. Besides that, it is your responsibility as a husband to live with your wife, Peter says, according to 1 Peter 3:7, in an understanding manner. Meaning that you've studied your wife. Meaning that you've given thought and care to what are the ways that she responds to encouragement and blessing. What is it? Is it through words? Is it through deeds? Is it through touch? Is it through time? All of those are different ways of communicating that you care about somebody. If you say a certain word of encouragement, that means so much to certain people. Or if you do a certain thing, you don't say anything, you just do it. That communicates to other people. Or if you put your arm around her or touch her and you're just friendly with her and affectionate in that way, that communicates a lot. Or perhaps it's time. That's the thing that communicates most of all that you regard your wife and you care for her. Which is it? Well, only you can know. And every woman's different. But I would challenge some men to give thought to that. Is it words, deeds, touch, or time? Because the Bible exhorts us here that we are to praise our wife for those things that are indeed praiseworthy. And we pick them out. We have to be honest about it. You can't be dishonest about it, or else you'll cause yourself all sorts of problems. And so just praise those things that are genuine and true, the things that you see. And the things that you notice. This husband said, "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." He praises her with his words, giving thanks for all that God has done. Now, there are other passages in Proverbs that speak the same message. Proverbs 5, verse 18 says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoiced in the wife of your youth." And so the picture of the Proverbs or of the Scripture is that we are to rejoice in the one whom we have entered into a marriage covenant with, and to give thanks for her. Yes, time and circumstances are going to change her figure and how she looks and all that, just like it's going to change how you look. But as time goes along, there's much to be thankful for. One of the men that I've admired for a long time is a particular man of England, a minister of the gospel, Henry Beveridge. And he says this about his wife. He says, "If I chose her for her beauty, I shall love her no longer than while that continues. And then farewell at once to both duty and delight. But if I love her for her virtues, then though all other sandy foundations fail, yet my happiness will remain entire." There's some wise words there for us to think about, men. That if we're loving and appreciating our wife for the virtues that she demonstrates rather than her external looks, then there's something that will last our whole life. And so in that respect, we have opportunity and a responsibility to cultivate that inner imperishable spirit in our wife as we commend her, as we extol her virtues, as we remind her of the ways that she is a blessing to us. In Proverbs 18, verse 22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Now, it doesn't say he who finds a good wife obtains favor from the Lord, as if there are good ones and bad ones. That's not what it says. It just says he who finds a wife obtains favor and a good thing from the Lord. In Proverbs 19, verse 14, "House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Prudent can be translated also by a thoughtful wife, a wise wife, a thrifty wife. Now, those are all other words that simply explain the word prudent. And so a prudent wife is thoughtful, wise, and thrifty. And how does she demonstrate that? Well, because she's the one who is the soother of her husband's cares. You men have had that experience. You come home from either work or some situation that's happened, and you're burdened terribly, and you're discouraged, and you're just feeling completely dejected about life. And what does your wife do? Slaps you up the side of the head and says, "Get straight," or something like that. No, that's not what she does. What she does is she says, "Honey, you can get past this. You know what to do. You can figure this out. Let me help you." Now, that's a wife that comes alongside and soothes her husband's cares. And I bet you every man in this room who's married can think of a dozen times throughout the course of your life where your wife has done that. She is the soother of his cares. She is the counselor of his perplexities. "I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this problem. I don't know where to turn next. I don't know which way to go." And a godly woman gives counsel. After all, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, what has the Lord designed your wife, the woman of your life, to be but a helper? And so a helper must speak. And a helper must speak words of encouragement and blessing, instruction and wisdom when the husband is not sure what to do. She is the comforter of his sorrows. She is the helper of his declining years. Think about what it would be, men, to be all alone and to be in your declining years with no helpmate to be a blessing and a comfort. And so those are things to dwell on and to ask the Lord to satisfy and bring if they're not there presently. And also to give thanks and to relish if they are there. that the Lord has blessed. The Statue of Liberty has been in the news lately, but not for the reason I'm going to mention it. I think it was in the news because of that great flyover with one of the president's planes a few weeks ago, and I think some of you probably saw the pictures recently that were released. Our $356,000 flyover. But nonetheless, I digress. The Statue of Liberty was built back in the 1800s, and it was built over a 10-year period by a French sculptor. His name was Frederick Auguste Bartholdi. And Mr. Bartholdi was uncertain as he was designing the Statue of Liberty to who would actually be the model for the actual statue. And he sought out all of his artistic friends in Paris, and they gave him all kinds of counsel and all kinds of ideas and different examples of she has to be noble, she has to be this, she has to be that, and so on. And finally it came down to the time where he had to make a decision. And so he decided, which surprised everybody, that he was going to take the likeness of his own dear mother to be the likeness of the Statue of Liberty. And so when you go to New York and you see Lady Liberty, that 151-foot-high statue, think to yourself, I am seeing a man, I am seeing a Frenchman, I am seeing a French artist honor his mother. And so he did. A wonderful tribute to the lasting influence that she had on her son. And so not only do the children rise up and call her blessed, but also husbands who see the blessings of God in their wife. Now, thirdly, we see that the woman who seeks to walk in the fear of the Lord seeks to please the Lord. There are about a dozen passages in the New Testament alone that use that word pleasing the Lord. And that is an aspiration that we should all have, male and female. But in particular, it speaks to the women here in verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so a woman who purposes to have an inner beauty rather than just merely an external one, to walk in the fear of the Lord and to be applying and honoring what the Lord has told her to do in Holy Scripture, then that is a woman who is worthy of being praised. Again, the Proverbs, in Proverbs 11, verse 22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. And so here's a woman who's so consumed by external appearances, and the Proverbs simply say it's like a gold ring in a pig's snout. A very humbling situation indeed. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 4, we see what Peter has to say about the virtuous woman. 1 Peter 3, 3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. I love those words. And they make it so clear that it's not just the external things that a woman might do to make her catch a man's attention or something like that, but it's the inner person, it's the inside of that woman, and in particular, her relationship to the Lord as walking as one who fears the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, here are some words to help you out there. It means to reverence God and His ways. A woman who reveres the ways of God, the words of God, the Church of Christ, and so on, that's a woman who fears God. She's not all about her, but she's thinking first and foremost of her relationship to God. She reveres Him. She's submissive to His Word. She is also obedient to His Word. She's humble before the Lord and she's faithful to carry out the commandments of God. Now, that's a woman who pleases God. She fears the Lord. In the Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So a wise woman is going to be one who walks with reverence and fear before her Creator. She recognizes she's a creature. She recognizes that He is the Creator over all things. And so the woman who seeks to fear the Lord is blessed. In Proverbs 10, verse 27, it says, "The one who fears the Lord actually prolongs life." The person who fears the Lord is steered in this way and that way, following the right course, rather than falling into the pit on the side, on this side or that side, that leads to judgment and trouble in life. And so the godly woman is prolonged in her life as she fears the Lord. We also see that at the end of her life, there is fruit. There are the rewards that go along with a godly life. And so in verse 31, we see this. "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Well, a woman who's been faithful to do the things of God, then she's going to demonstrate certain fruit that's going to be evident. And her works will praise her in the gates. Now, what are the gates? Well, in an Old Testament city, there typically, if it was a large city of some substance, there was a wall of defense put up around the city. And there always were certain gates that could be defended in times of war. But also, the gates were a place of commerce and a place of justice. So in an Old Testament city, if there was a decision that needed to be rendered for a judicial matter involving the laws of that land or some political issue that needed to be decided, then it oftentimes took place in the gates. And the elders of the land would have a, as it were, a small little throne or a chair that was placed there. And that's where you would go to present your case to the elders of the city. Now, when it refers to her works being praised in the gates, it could mean one of two things. It could mean that she was well known in the gates by all the elders as a virtuous woman. That's one interpretation of this. The other is that her husband is actually one who sits in the gates, and he praises her, and all that she is and all that she's known for is known by all, because her husband that she's sought to build up and strengthen and help is one who sits in the gates as a decision maker in that local context. So in either scenario, it works here that her works praise her in the gates, and the fruit of her hands are made known, and they are evident to all. So what does this mean? That in her life, her children rise up and bless her because they know and they remember, they experience firsthand all that their mother did and said and all those things that are noteworthy. And even in her death, in Proverbs 10, verse 7, it says, "The memory of a righteous person is a great blessing." And so as we remember our mothers today, perhaps there are mothers who have gone before us, are deceased now, and they are present with the Lord, then we remember them and we honor them for what they have done. And also from her own husband, as he sat in the gates or bore testimony in the gates of what kind of person his wife was. So these are the ways in which we seek to honor the Lord and to bless Him. What does every mother wish for? Well, hopefully, these four things. For children who bless her and they rise up and they say, "Thank you, God, for all that my mother has been and done. What she has said, what she has communicated to me." Secondly, "Thank you, God," says the husband, "for blessing me with a wife of this caliber, for blessing me with a virtuous woman." And her Lord also says, I am pleased with you in all that you have done and all that you say and the character of your life because you walk in the fear of God. And lastly, the fruit of her hands bears testimony to what she has done as well. Now, going back to the beginning with that TV show, it was just Queen for a Day. But I tried to lay out for you, according to this passage, a list which is far superior than anything any woman might want for a single day. But those different things that God has given that will last for a whole lifetime. And so we're talking about being a queen forever, as one who honors the Lord, as one who fears Him and walks in His ways. So ladies, please take this to heart, whether you're married, whether you hope to be married, whether you have been married, all of those situations show us that there's opportunities to rejoice in God for the fruit of your hands. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this text. We know, of course, Lord, that women are sinners who need to be saved by grace. Not only are they born with the nature of their father and their mother, all the way back to Adam and Eve, but beyond that, in their own life, they must come to the point of being redeemed by Christ, which we know is by grace. And so we pray, Lord, that you would work in the lives of those whom we love, if they are not yet Christians. If their mind is confused or disoriented toward the things of God, we pray, Lord, that they might come to know you and love you. Inasmuch as we have those mothers who have purposed, Lord, to serve you and love you in their life, we thank you for the praiseworthy aspects of their life. And we pray, Lord, that we, both men and women of our church, would commit themselves to honoring father and mother. Beyond that, Lord, we pray as children, the children of our church, as they rise up, that they will give commendations unto God for the parents that you have given them. As well, Lord, that you will help them to go even further than us and stand upon our shoulders. We thank you, Lord, for working in our midst, blessing us in so many ways with these human relationships. And we pray it in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.